And for those wondering what organic by the USDA actually means, it's grown on soil that...
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick-fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. Welcome back, lovely. This is our second episode here today of our Hot Take Summer series. If you are unfamiliar, our Hot Take Summer is where I kind of spend a little bit of time discussing my hot take on a variety of current popular like health trends, health fads, and more. So I really enjoy this series all together because it is a really fun way to kind of dive into popular topics, lots of questions, especially because more and more now, you know, you guys hear conflicting, polarizing evidence or posts on social media, you know, ultimately very much on social media is where the waters are getting so muddy. And it's really hard because you almost have to just like pick a team, you know what I mean? So I'm hoping to provide you with my voice, with my podcast here, a perspective of somebody who really is in it for your best health. I mean, I have nothing to sell you, you know what I mean? And I'm really very interested in for myself and my family, you know? So everything that I research and discuss, it's always going to come from a perspective of where I'm trying to see the big picture. I don't want to just cherry pick little studies here and there because unfortunately, a lot of the voices on social media are just kind of cherry picking what fits the most with whatever philosophy or eating style or, you know, whatever their parents taught them that they want to stay married to for the rest of their life, you know, not in a way that's like throwing shade. It's just in a way that this is really how I've observed and learned a lot of people develop and hold positions when it comes to nutrition and fitness and just well-being in general. You know, we're very polarized to what fits in our camp. And in reality, you know, health is really not a place where we should be so polarized. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things where it's like drugs and alcohol and those types of things are absolutely always going to be black and white of like not good for you or whatever, you know. But then, you know, you could argue that to some extent, we live in a world that involves alcohol and an occasional glass of wine when you're visiting Italy or something like that here and there or whatever is not going to be ruining your life and like a horrible decision for the rest of your life, you know? So that's where I want to hopefully meet you today and throughout this entire series, maybe forever throughout my entire podcast, as you listen to episodes from me about how you can better approach your thoughts and your own individual thought process when it comes to your health and how you move forward in this crazy, crazy world that we live in. So without further ado, though, let's get into today's topic. And it is going to be probably one of the most commonly argued things I have absolutely seen through over the 20 years I've been aware of the nutrition scene in my life. You know what I mean? I got into it when I was very young. And, you know, a lot of it just seemed to like make the most sense. It's like obviously organic would just make the most sense, you know, but sometimes there's a little nuance. Maybe there's an area or reasoning where it doesn't always make sense, or it's totally okay not to. So I wanted to give you my hot take today to hopefully open your eyes to the bigger discussions going on when it comes to organic or non-organic foods, because it's really important. And I think more now than ever, especially for the female physiology and our ecosystem going on in all ways possible, you know, from our external appearance to our internal environment, this is a very important conversation. So I will tell you a little bit more about that here in a minute. But as always, I'd love to see you come join my Rebel Wellness community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast, or you can come join my coaching page at Kaylee Loren. You will find all those links in our show notes, as well as everything I discuss in this episode. There should be resources linked for you in the show notes as well. So go ahead and check those out if you want to connect more and join the community. And the last thing I will invite you to do is come join my wellness newsletter. It's a one time a month, jam-packed with things from nutrition to fitness to mindset to inner work, you know, self-love, all that great stuff. Everything that I think embodies well-being all together is packed into those monthly newsletters. So I'd love to invite you to come join it. You can go to my website, coachkales.com. That is the best place to sign up for it there. Or you can, you know, DM me on Instagram. That is also a good way. I can just add you into the list easily that way. And we also do Q&As every once in a while where I answer really commonly asked questions that you guys send me on Instagram or via email, wherever you want to. So go ahead and send me any questions you want. There's no bad questions. Anything to do with health and wellness, send it there and you might hear your question answered on a future episode. So let's dive into this chat today about organic or not organic. What is the best thing for your health? And I hope that you guys come out of this conversation with a little bit more understanding about this topic here in the US, because I am speaking about USDA organic, you know, that's the realm that we're coming from when it comes to how we view it and the whys. Okay, so let's go. All right, so throughout my nutrition schooling, I've done several different nutrition programs and certifications. You know, I have my degree as well as a slew of certifications in nutrition, because knowing more, I think, helps us show up better for clients and for just life in general, because there are a lot of angles to nutrition that one pathway of education really isn't going to show you. And especially if you're not somebody who did any formal training in nutrition, social media and our society in general is a horrible place to try to learn anything nutrition. You know, it is really hard when you are just gaining information from magazine titles that are meant to grab your attention so that you purchase the magazine, or, you know, back in the day where magazines had a lot more hold on us like that. Fast forward now to where social media is all about likes and views and capturing attention. You know, it's an attention game. It's always been an attention game. That's marketing and advertisement in general, in like a nutshell. So with that said, it's important to understand why there's a lot of polarization around this argument about organic or non-organic. So I do want to first address a really common, very valid point that a lot of people bring up, and that is the fact that organic foods do, on average, cost more than non-organic. I'm going to tell you why that is, and that it's very valid that they cost more. It's not a scam. And that's coming from experience for, I mean, I'm in the top of Central California. We are like the heart of a large majority of agriculture and produce production in general here in the US. So I have been lucky enough to discuss and ask these questions to farmers and those who are in the produce industry who have no reason to, you know, make up stuff or have any biased opinion on it. So I'm going to bring some of that knowledge to you guys today here in a bit. But something really important to note is that, yes, non-organic foods can still provide very good nutrients. And if you are somebody who does not have quite the budget for a highly organic diet, absolutely okay. Very valid. You know, it is, you know, some people have made comments that like eating all organic is elitist. I don't really like that conversation, because I think it makes people believe that should they get the means down the road with their career progressing or any other reason, that they should still not eat organic because it's elitist. You know, there's kind of a stink to certain embodiment of personas, I guess you could say. And I think that that is dangerous because I personally have seen the negative effects of pesticides and chemicals that are just all around us. You know, endocrine disruptors, just environmental toxins in general are overbearing these days. You know, they're in our skincare products, they're in our water systems, they're in our food, and there's a lot of reasons why they do it. 100%, because you have to think that they have to be using as much as possible, as safe as quote unquote possible, to try to prevent waste, because food waste is loss of money for farmers and companies in general, but also it's just bad in general because we're not able to feed more mouths. And so in the grand scheme of things, it's really important to understand that non-organic foods can absolutely still nourish you, but they may come with more risks than benefits. So if you can start to prioritize more of your monthly food budget towards organic foods, I'll tell you which ones are more ideal to prioritize for organic later on in this conversation. It's really important to know that, yes, 100%, you know, coming from my professional experience and what I've actually seen in clients' blood work who were not eating organic, you really should prioritize organic where you can. And there is nothing elitist about that. You know, there is something, it is a privilege for sure to have more means to pay for those things. But at the same time, it should not be put into a position where you are a certain personality if you eat only organic or something like that, you know. Taking care of our health through the food we eat should not be political. It really should not be political. And I have found that a lot of people sacrifice their health in outrageous ways, coming from the perspective of a nutritionist who understands physiology around what you eat and how it affects you physically, especially for longevity. And I've been seeing people just completely wayside their health for political stances or personalities that they just want to personify, because our society has made food kind of a social status or some sort of honorable virtue, you know, that you wear on your shoulder. And that's fine. If that's something that you really want to do, go for it. You do you, boo-boo. But when I'm talking about just trying to remove as many different labels and blocks as possible so that you can see food as a way to take care of yourself and therefore show up better for your family, for your community, in so many different ways. And food 100% is one of the biggest factors in that, right? You know, if you are not as sick as often, you are not burdening our healthcare system as often. That is huge. You're doing your part for the community. Unfortunately, now some people will be so married to removing entire food groups from their nutrition for whatever reason, with really short-sightedness, that, or they'll just identify with, I'm a pizza girl. Like, there's so many people that are like, I'm a pizza girl. All I eat is pizza and blah, blah, blah. I'm a junk food girly, you know, and that's okay. But at the same time, it's not, you know, because ultimately you should be taking better care to nourish your system so that, again, you can show up better for yourself, for your work, for your family, for your partner, for your community, as your best self. And your best self does not come from junk food. It really doesn't. And so ultimately, my point is that we have to start to consider finding the ways that nourish us the best that can still align with our priorities or any causes that you have that you're trying to promote or support, you know, and being really open-minded about, should your body respond negatively, you should consider making adjustments to make your body respond positively to your nutrition. So if you're somebody who is struggling with anything with their health that absolutely could be related to how you're eating or the food that you're being exposed to or your toxin load, food is medicine, okay? So really think about how you eat much more seriously than ever before, because we have a lot of things playing against us in our modern world, especially if you live in a big city or in a state where, you know, work harder, faster, you know, all that kind of stuff is the status quo. you're really going to need to do as much as you can with your nutrition to help your body become purifying itself or detoxifying itself naturally and nourishing itself with the most nutrients possible and all that good stuff, okay? So I really hope that that kind of helps you better understand that like we should be removing labels when it comes to how you eat and why you eat that way, because food should just be the reason you eat that is because it takes care of you and your health.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Overall, doesn't matter exactly what it is or what ratios or if you eat animals or you don't eat animals or you only eat green veggies and you don't eat, you know, whatever it is that you do, just make sure that you're doing it for your health first and foremost. Because if your health is showing you that it's not working, you should probably be curious to explore otherwise. And same goes for when you're considering organic or non-organic. Should you be able to afford and prioritize organic for your fruits and vegetables, especially because those are your higher quality nutrients that you get from a multivitamin, but more bioavailable when it comes from actual plants and berries and animals? You're going to want to go for the organic ones as much as possible. Let's talk a little bit about the brief history of non-organic and why it became the way it became so that you can better understand that it has a little bit of a dark past, all right? So for a large majority of the history of humans altogether, pretty much all of our agriculture was pesticide-free. It was generally naturally organic because we didn't have a lot of man-made chemicals that were created to manage pests until actually World War II, interestingly enough. And companies that were producing like chemicals for like bio warfare, they decided to change their focus and shift that poison towards farmers to kill off all the different worms and beetles and pests in general that would attack the plants, you know, aka losing a lot more crops. They were problematic because it was money lost. So this is where, for example, one of the most infamous pesticides that was later banned, DDT, it's a massive poisonous endocrine disruptor, meaning it's going to alter your hormones and other things in your lymph system. So everything that controls a lot of the functions of the cells in your body were being disrupted by DDT, and they are by a lot of other common pesticides and just produce protectors in general, like glyphosate, aka what we usually see in a lot of gluten products from the US. And it was also a carcinogen, meaning that it was causing cancer. I do remember when I was in second grade, I did an eagle project, and I learned that eagle eggs, like eagles, started to become more at risk for extinction because DDT was actually, since it was getting into the water system and it was getting into their food system, it was starting to make their eggshells really soft. And so the baby eagles were not able to actually finish their full, you know, hatch cycle. And it was becoming an issue. And we started to care a lot more because we saw a lot of the wildlife having a ton of issues due to the DDT. They ended up being able to figure it out. So then public outrage, you know, once they discovered it, especially because somebody had written a book that had exposed it. It was called Silent Spring. Back in the early 70s, they banned DDT, but it actually took, like, I think we are still finding DDT in fetuses in pregnant women still today. So it has been extremely insidious the way that it stayed in our systems and in our environment for so long. Because guys, the 70s now, it's over 50 years ago. So unfortunately, a lot of these chemicals, we started to use them. They were generally passed as safe. You know, a lot of things are passed by the FDA and such, and the EPA, et cetera, for way too little of longevity in the research. So that is something where I have definitely been more conservative when it comes to how I approach chemicals and different things that have not been studied as long as I believe things should, you know, at least 10 years, at least 20 years, you know, get a couple of decades behind its belt before actually thinking that anything could be safe enough for humans. And unfortunately, that's too long. You know, that's money lost to all these companies. So anyways, today we see more than 5 billion pounds of pesticides used in farming every year. And that is in the non-organic farming, obviously, because those are the types of farming that produce majority of our food supply here in the US when it's a US made food product. Okay. So unfortunately, again, because pesticides are the way to increase the yield and the profitability of farming, which, side note, there is not a lot of profitability in farming. There's a lot of profitability in the resell of the major corporations that own it. So like Big Grain Corp, you know, Big Corn, Big Sugar, all of those are the corporations that own it, but the farmers themselves don't actually make that much money. So farmers are just contracted, and then the bigger corporations purchase everything that come from the farms, and then they mark up and do whatever they want with that product. Okay. That's really important to know, because I think a lot of people think the farmers are the ones that are trying to profit off of us as humans. And unfortunately, that they really don't understand the business to business, the B2B. It's not B2C. It's not farmers to customer or consumer, rather. It's actually farmers to corporation who makes the product, that corporation to consumer. So layman's terms of how that business works. It's actually not the farmers making a crap ton of money. Unfortunately, our farmers are actually struggling all the time. They're very not great profit margins. So that's important to note. I want to throw that in there because especially throughout my schooling, it became very apparent that a lot of people don't understand that it's not the farmers trying to profit off of things in any farming, you know, anywhere from animal farming all the way to vegetable farmers and such. They do not make as much money as the big corporations who purchase their products do. So other things to note, though, is that a lot of these chemicals have been shown to most likely stick around for dozens to hundreds of years. So like we had said, we've already been half of 100 years away from DDT, and we're still seeing it in baby humans today, babies that haven't even been born yet. And that's wild, right? So we need to be very conscientious of how much of that stuff we expose ourselves to, right? So conventionally grown fruits and vegetables are unfortunately the highest amounts of those pesticides and such. So an interesting thing is that in 2015, a study that was funded by the EPA found that consumers who often or usually bought organic had significantly less insecticide in their urine, even though they ate 70% more produce than people who bought only conventionally grown fruits and vegetables. That's crazy, right? That's really interesting. You can rewind that if you have to hear that again. But that's significant. Right? That's pretty impressive, because you can eat more organic and still have less insecticide in your urine than people who maybe eat one fruit or veggie a day, or maybe even a week. Yeah, there are people who barely eat fruits or vegetables every week, and they will still have, if they bought conventionally grown, they will still have more insecticide in their urine than the people who eat maybe several servings of organic veggies and fruits a day. So that's an important exposure for you to observe, that your amount of exposure does really matter. And you're getting a lot more exposure from non-organic than organic. And for those wondering what organic by the USDA actually means, from the USDA.gov, it's defined as produce that can be called organic if it's certified to have grown on soil that had no prohibited substances applied for 3 years prior to harvest. So any of those substances that are prohibited include most of the synthetic fertilizers and pesticides. So there are absolutely some that are not banned from organic use. that maybe are edging towards getting banned. However, majority of the worst offenders of pesticides and synthetic fertilizers and such are banned from use on organic crops. Okay. And this was actually confirmed for me by several of my clients that work in produce, because they buy and sell and move a lot of these different products from organic to non-organic. And there are very specific protocols that have to be had for the organic farmers versus the non-organic. And they did confirm privately when I had asked them about it. They told me without me asking that the 3 years prior for the crop, wherever they grow the organic, has to be no prohibited substances applied for 3 years prior. So that is a confirmed thing. And I've actually definitely seen it out here living in the heart of a lot of the agriculture where we grow a lot of strawberries, a lot of artichoke, a lot of leafy greens. You know, we grow a ton of different things that we do often see organic. And I have seen definite differences, even just from being a passerby driving, between the different farming techniques as well. So that is something that can be confirmed. But a lot of people also say, like, there's a ton of people on social media that'll just be like, oh, well, you know, non-organic crops will just spray and the off spray will go onto the organic crops, so it's useless anyways. It's like, okay, well, if you knew much about how plants grow, they get most of their nutrients actually from the soil that they're grown in. And if you're on an organic soil, you shouldn't have hardly as much non-organic pesticides and those substances, or fertilizer even, used in that soil. And that makes a bigger difference than the spray, because you can always wash off a lot of whatever gets dusted onto any of your plants or your vegetables and fruits, rather. They are plants, which you should always be washing that stuff when you purchase it. I dominantly purchase organic because I do orient a massive budget of my month to my nutrition, because nutrition is medicine. Nutrition is an investment in my health long-term, as well as my partner's. And we've already seen significant changes in both of our health from just eating as optimal as possible. And that includes dominantly organic foods and berries, all the thin skin things and more. We'll talk about that here in a sec. But the other thing that is important to know is that we always wash everything. And there's like healthy fruit and vegetable wash spray. I'll link it in my show notes for you guys, because I don't know the name off the top of my head. But you can also do a simple thing like soaking your berries in water that has about a tablespoon or so of white vinegar. There's a lot of different ways that you can get any of the off spray, so to speak, or anything that could have just been dusted over your crops that you purchase, your vegetables, your produce. There we go. That's the word. Your produce that you purchase. And it's very beneficial for you to always wash the stuff that you're eating, especially if it's fresh. So that's something that you can do. But when people just say like, it's going to become non-organic anyways because of off spray, that's kind of silly, because a large majority of what your plant actually absorbs comes from the soil, much less from just stuff floating in the sky. And at the same time, they do have to test, and they have stricter regulations, hence the higher costs. So I was talking about that earlier. Organic costs more because there's a lot more strict regulations that go into organic farming, as well as it costs a lot more for the farmers to make organic foods, because again, they have a lot more risk of the pesticides, or pests rather. And they can't use pesticides that just, you know, kill the bugs immediately, because that's why it's risky when you ingest it, because then it's like, well, if it killed a little bug, what's it doing to the cells in my body? And that is where we have seen a lot of issues, again, specifically with glyphosate, aka Roundup. We have a lot of issues with that in our bodies that we do know. You know, there's even links to like autism and such, brain development in general. So we do have to be very conscientious of non-organic versus organic because of that as well. But that is really important to know from that standpoint, that there are higher risks as far as your future. You know, if you're not pregnant now, but you futurely want to have children, that is something like for myself, I'm trying to keep my environment as healthy as possible with as little amount of possibly brain altering chemicals as possible through the way I eat now. So that is something that you could be really conscientious about. You know, again, if you don't have the means to be as organic as possible, it's okay. It is definitely more important for you to listen to this next part where I'm going to talk about like the whole Dirty Dozen and such, to pick and choose what you do prioritize for organic. But at the same time, you know, you may find that like frozen organic fruits and such are more accessible, like pound for pound, than the fresh. And that's a great way to try to get those into your diet for the antioxidants, the polyphenols, you know, all that good stuff. So those are some things to consider. But let's talk really quick about that. So the really common list, you know, one that I learned multiple times in different nutrition classes early, like 12 years ago, all the way to now, they still very much talk about the Dirty Dozen, which are the foods that you should really plan to eat organic only as much as possible. And the EWG is a company that keeps a list of a lot of different environmental, it's an environmental working group. They have a lot of different resources for environmentally proven things that you should be aware of. So EWG.org also has like, how is your water quality where you live? And all the way to, you know, what fruits and vegetables are the most contaminated with pesticide residue. So the Dirty Dozen is the most common one. However, we have found that there is a lot more than just a dozen, but the dozen is like the worst rated for pesticide residue. So when it comes to wanting to see those lists, I again will put those in the show notes for you so you can go to the EWG.org for those full lists and the background reports if you're really curious. But here's some of the interesting things that come up with the EWG research that I think is worth noting to you guys right now, that a single average potato that is non-organic has more pesticides by weight than any other produce on your produce shelves. Insane. And a little bit sketchy, right? And a single bell pepper can be contaminated by 15 different pesticides. 15, guys. And like your spinach, your kales, your other leafy greens, all that kind of stuff, you know, they are not in the Dirty Dozen, but they should be, because they have especially toxic pesticides that have like organophosphate, carbamate, and glyphosate insecticides. And those are not detected on other produce all the time. However, they are always detected on the leafy greens for some reason. So there's a lot of things that are not included in the Dirty Dozen that should be. So I would say my best advice would be just buy them organic if you can. So something I always learned in schooling that I think I've talked about in a previous episode is just that it's really important to know that the thinner the skin of to like how you eat it, the more importance of buying organic. So things like with really hard skins like avocado, oranges, bananas, they are usually okay because you're just eating the fruit on the inside. So you want to be a little bit more conscientious about things that don't have very thick skin on the outside. So we're talking berries, we're talking leafy greens, we're talking, you know, bell peppers, like we just said, cherry tomatoes, all variations of tomatoes, actually, in general, collard greens, peppers, cucumbers, you know, things where you're gonna eat the skin on the outside, you should probably buy organic. Other things you should consider buying organic are things like cabbage, peas, because the skin is still like on the thinner side, you know, onions, asparagus, especially eggplant, you know. Basically, if you just follow the rule that if it has thin skin and I eat it the way that it kind of basically looks when it came out of the plant it grew on, I probably should be buying organic because of the sheer amount of bugs that will probably want to eat that fruit, which is why they spray it with a crap ton of pesticides, okay? So that is the best thing for you to think of when you are purchasing certain fruits and vegetables. But as you guys will kind of see, you know, especially because potatoes, they grow in the ground. Again, the soil has the massive amount of impact on the nutrient density of all of our produce. More often than not, then, because all plants grow in soil, we should be really conscientious to think that it would be very much more supportive of our health to purchase and buy and eat things that were grown as close to natural as possible, because they're going to be the most nutrient dense. They're going to be the safest as far as any pesticide residue goes or fertilizer residue, and they are going to have as much vital nutrients that we need that should be the main reason we're eating a lot of these things, okay? Because that is where we're going to get so many good vitamins and minerals that are essential for every system in our body. A lot of our systems malfunction, they don't operate as well, they completely stop functioning well. You know, there's dysfunction all over our metabolic landscape these days, and a lot of them are absolutely impacted by our environmental toxins. And so the overall hot take, if there's anything I want you to walk away from today, is just that if you can prioritize or start to budget more to purchase more organic foods as far as your produce goes, even when it comes to your animal products, you know, I am always a big fan of sustainably raised organic beef, lamb, pork, all that stuff. You're just going to get the best quality nutrients with the least amount of toxins that come from man-made chemicals as possible. And it's always going to be worth the money because it's an investment in your future health. It's an investment in your current health. All right. And I have absolutely seen impressive results with a lot of my clients where we have shifted them towards that. We have had even times where there's been some of my college students where we've looked at their budget and we're like, can you actually afford it? Because a lot of people are like, I can't afford organic. And then we look at their budget. It's like, yeah, you can. You actually can. Because it is only on average a couple dollars more per little clamshell of berries or, you know, box of organic spinach, you know, and Whole Foods makes a lot more of these organic products more accessible and more affordable as well. So you also might just want to go to like a farmer's market. Absolutely, farmers markets, hand down, support them to the utmost amount because farmers markets are going to be, most of them are actually organic only always because it's supposed to be small local farmers. And so you're going to get really good beneficial pricing because you're going to get really good quality naturally grown. You're going to support farmers and you're also going to get a price where sometimes you can actually even bargain with them as well. It's still one of those platforms where you can, you know, say, okay, well, total is $21. I have $20. Yeah, that's fine. You know, like that happens all the time. You know, I'm not going to say shortchange the farmers, but at the same time, you can find stuff that'll fit your budget much better at a reasonable way to approach it for your community, for yourself, et cetera. So I was in Portland for a large majority of my early 20s into my late 20s, and the farmers markets up there are amazing, the best places that you could ever get any good produce. And I would say that it's a really great thing to do on your Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, you know, meet up with a girlfriend or something like that, make it a thing because you're just going to get such better produce from the farmers market. So I would highly recommend that over, you know, just standard grocery store organic. But, you know, if that's what's most accessible to you, go for it. You know, some towns really don't have great farmers markets. You may have to travel to a bigger town to get a better farmers market, you know. But I'm still looking for a great one out here in Monterey. So if any of my listeners are in the Monterey Peninsula, I'd love to hear any places. You can shoot me a DM on Instagram. Let me know where there's a good farmers market that you've been to out here. So all to say, guys, I hope that you better understand the difference between organic and non-organic. And I hope that you feel a little bit more empowered with understanding the whys of the bigger picture of how it is really great for your health and your longevity to try to prioritize organic wherever you can, because ultimately, again, we are just exposed to so many toxins in our environments these days through so many different angles. So if you can prioritize and optimize what you put in your mouth that goes through your entire body and system and nourishes it or poisons it, make the right choice that can support you the best you can. All right. But that is it for today's episode. If you enjoyed this, share this with somebody who, you know, thinks that non-organic doesn't matter or whatever, because hopefully it'll help them feel a little bit more equipped with the knowledge to make the right decision for your family, for yourself, for whatever, you know what I mean? Support farmers, support our communities. And that is always going to be my best advice when it comes to produce, okay? So celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence. I will catch you next week on another episode of Rebel Wellness. Hey Rebel, I just want to say a huge thank you for tuning in and sharing this space with us. Before we sign off,
I've got some exciting ways for you to stay connected and to take your wellness journey even further with me. First up, if you haven't already, make sure to swing by CoachKales.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's your go-to source for the latest episodes, exclusive content, and a whole lot more wellness goodness delivered straight to your inbox. Check out the show notes for those high-quality tips on nutrition, fitness, and just overall well-being. Follow us on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast and my flagship page at Kaylee Loren. We're all about building a community where we can share, inspire, and grow together. So I would love to see you there. Now, if you're looking to reset and realign after a vacation, a hectic work season, or just because you feel like it's time for a healthful cleanse, I've got something super special for you and it's 100% free. Head over to stan.store/kales and download my free realignment detox guide. You can also find it at coachkale.com in the freebies section. I'm sharing my unique holistic approach to help you cut back inflammation, improve your skin, and even shed some excess weight with this guide. So trust me, you're gonna love it. Go download it for free now. But last but not certainly least, if you've got a burning health question you'd like answered on the show, or if you're curious about my one-on-one remote coaching or group courses, don't hesitate to visit my website and reach out to me there, or hello@kayleeloren.com is my best email for contacting me. I am here to support you on your journey to wellness, so do not feel afraid to reach out. All right, Rebel, catch you on the next episode.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.